Praise God. Turn around to somebody, slap them a high five, and say, I'm glad you got to sit by me tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Good to have everybody in the house of the Lord, Maria. So glad to have you in church with us today. Amen. Such a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to come in the presence of God. And I was just driving down my car even this morning, driving to work, and had about a 25-minute drive, and I just started crying. Not that I was hurt, but just when you get in the presence of God, you just want to talk to Him, and tears start to flow. And when I even walked into the building, even tonight, I felt Him. And it's incredible to know that there really is a God that loves us and wants to commune with us. That's why He said in His Word, you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. May be seated tonight. And excited for everything that's going on around Abundant Life Center. And we were very, very blessed Monday night. We had two baptisms Monday night. Hallelujah. And I told both of them, I said, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to get baptized in jacuzzi waters. You got baptized in jacuzzi waters. Waters was warm on Monday night, and we baptized, and we thank God for it. And I thank God that God gives us a plan that is a do-over. In life, you don't get a lot of do-overs. We make mistakes, and we make wrong choices, and life just says, you know, that's what you get. And our world is very quick to point out our flaws and point out our missteps and really put that light on when we've really done something wrong. They like to find people's flaws. But thank God that God's not like that. He says, hey, I've got blood that can wash away all your sins. He said, matter of fact, when I look at the book of your life and all the stuff that you've done, I just see red all throughout the book because of the blood. And I'm glad for God's blood, glad for God's ways. Amen. And I'm glad to be in church. And the last few Wednesday nights, we've been talking about God's plan, God's blueprints. And we talked about unity, and we need to come together. And it's powerful when we come together. I want to talk about another step of a blueprint that God's given us a lot of blueprints, a lot of guidelines and doctrines for us to live by. But I want to talk tonight about the church, the church's altar calls, because I really believe that life and death is hanging in the balance. And all of us can change the course of our life through a good old-fashioned altar. And I thank God for my altar. I thank God for altars of the past. But I can't just hang on altars of the past. I can't just say, you know what, back in 1986, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God got a hold of my life. And I was baptized. And I just can't hang on that. That was a starting point. And I've got to make sure that I renew that every day. And it's the blessings of the Lord. They're renewed every day. Every morning they are. And when you wake up, it's just like God just reveals Himself to you. And I was even reading in Scripture this morning about the, and I may teach it or preach it, I don't know. But I was reading the story of Samuel. And the Bible said in those days, the Word of God was precious. And it was almost scarce. And there was no vision at that time. And all of a sudden, God started to deal with Samuel. Samuel was a young boy, and we're fixing to start a class very soon called the Timothy Group. And I'm going to reach out to our youngins. And I still feel like I'm a youngin. And so we'll have a great time, and looking forward to that. Also, let me just throw this out there. We're having Spanish fellowship at our house Saturday at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, and I'm going to try to make a dish that will make up for my lack of Espanol. And we're going to have a great time. But if you'd like to be involved in our Spanish, just get together. It's at 5 o'clock at our house. I don't know if I'll make carne asada tacos, or I know my wife's making Dorito casserole, but I always have to throw something else with it. Maybe I'll make my homemade sauce or whatever. But we'll have a great time. Not sure why I got off on all of that. But I was this morning, I was reading about Samuel, and I was reading about how Samuel went to bed, and as he went to bed, he heard the voice of the Lord, and it said Samuel. And one notable thing that Samuel did that many times I have a hard time doing, when I'm in bed and I just got the covers on and my head hits the pillow, I don't want to get up out of my bed. There are many times my wife gets annoyed at me because when I'm in bed and she says, "Hey, babe, can you go get..." And I'm like, "No, I'm in bed." Now, sometimes I do because, you know, I don't want to feel guilty. But Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. And the Bible says he got out of bed, but not only did he get out of bed, but he ran, Brother Miller, to where Eli was. And he said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli was sleeping. It's like, "Dude, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And the story goes that he runs back to bed. And all of a sudden he hears the voice of the Lord again, "Samuel." This happened three times. He got out of bed, ran to Samuel, and on the third time, because Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord. And some of us, we don't really know the voice of God. And God wants to speak to you. But the only way he can speak to you is you've got to disengage from everything else and you've got to connect with him. And so it was the third time that he went to Eli, and Eli finally said, "Hey, that's God trying to speak to you. That's God's trying to get your attention." He says, "Go back to bed, and if you hear that voice, answer, 'Here I am, Lord.'" And on the fourth time, I thought it was pretty noteworthy that the Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel," his name twice. The other three times it was just one word, and he ran to where Eli was. And so at that second voice, he stands up and says, "Here I am, Lord, speak." And the Lord just starts to lay it out. Can I tell you, I don't know why it happens, but many times God will awaken you out of your sleep in the most inconvenient time. In the most unusual time of the hour, because you just now started dozing off and all of a sudden you're awakened. And God's trying to get your attention. And if we want, Brother Rudy, really want God to start talking to us, and I know I haven't hit our message yet, but it's all about altar. But if we really want God to begin to speak to us, then we've got to take time outs from the throes of life and forget about the sleep that we desperately think we need. Can I tell you, Thomas Edison, he lived on 4 hours of sleep. He worked 20 hours a day and slept only 4 hours. And you said, what in the world could he accomplish in that amount of time with that lack of sleep? Well, I don't know. I think we got something illuminating right now. So us, if you ever feel 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, that you just can't sleep, could it be it's God trying to get your attention, trying to get you out of your comfortable state, to find a place in your house, wherever it is, where you could go and start communing with God? Can I tell you, you want to draw close to him, he wants to draw closer to you more. You want to talk to him, he wants to talk to you more. But the only way that can happen is we've got to start opening up the ears of the Spirit. And we've got to start tapping into him, because I don't know about you, but I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear him speak to me. I want to hear him. I even prayed this morning. I said, "God, you know, you've blessed me." And we talked about a few Wednesday nights ago about thanks, how God just shut my message down. We started talking about thanks. And when I started just thanking God even today, I started praying this prayer: "God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my wife. I'm praying, God, you would take them deeper than I've ever gone. I'm praying that you would take in places that I've never gone nor never will." I'm telling you, if we'll start taking timeouts and start talking with God, we could start pouring out spiritual blessings upon our generations to come. I'm talking about breaking the chains of the past and breaking up all the cursed and just start unleashing the blessings of God. I'm telling you what we need in this day and this last hour. We've got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to be led by His touch. And we've got to flow in the supernatural. And the only way we can do that is take a time out from technology and say, God, I need this blueprint. I need Your Word. I need it to speak to me. And if you truly desire that, guess what? God starts speaking to you. And Sunday night, we did talk about givers and takers. But I wasn't talking about your money. I was talking about you. God just wants to know, does He have you? Or are you just here because you don't want Pastor to call you or knock at your door and say, where you been? Are you in the Secret Service? I haven't seen you. You're MIA. No, God doesn't want you to be forced to come, but God wants you to come voluntarily and open up the door of your heart saying, God, I need you to come in. My home is in dire need of your service. My life is in shambles. My life's in a wreck. It's in a mess. And Lord, right now, I need you to come in and speak to me. If you'll start going down that vein, guess what? The Lord starts to hear your words, and He starts to run after the voice. I want to hear God's voice, don't you? Amen. So let's get on lesson. Hallelujah. Before I get off track, I know Sister Marjorie looked and said, Pastor, are we going to hit all those scriptures tonight? I don't know how many scriptures I gave her, but I said, we're going to try our best, but we may not. We'll see what happens. But I want to tell you about the church's altar call. And I want to thank God for an altar call. I want to thank God for a time and a moment that I have to fire up the inside man and let that spiritual man begin to reign. That's why I love Wednesday nights. It's the halfway mark to Sunday. We've already been through it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We've had to put up with knucklehead bosses and clients that are complaining and all the drama and all of that. I thank God that we have somewhere to go from the throes of life to fill our tanks back up. I thank God for the altar call. That's a place where I can lift up my hand and I can be strengthened, I can be renewed, and I can be restored. Because His word said, when I am weak, He becomes strong. And I need God to become strong in my life because I'd have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring. But if I can get God in me and He becomes strong in me, I can face any devil. I can face any attack. I don't care what comes or goes. If I've got a hold of God, anything's possible. Anybody glad for a God that's on your side? Amen. So let's talk about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. A lot of us could quote it. Then Peter said unto them, repent. You know what repentance is? It was an old word, Brother McIntosh, back in the armed forces. I think it originated, I could be wrong, I think it was somewhere in Britain or something like that, but the word repent, when they yelled the word repent to soldiers, what they were to do is to make an about face. They just yelled the word repent and they would turn 180 degrees. That's what repentance is. Repentance means I'm walking this way, but if I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn around and say, I ain't going back that way. That way is sin. That way is devastation. That way is bitterness and all the junk and the perversions of the world. I ain't got time for that anymore. I want to walk on the course of heaven. I want to walk on a new path. That's what repentance is. It's not sorry you got caught, but it's changing your ways. So when Peter said, repent, he said, it's time to change. Not sorry that you got caught from the police officer. I know a lot of you have lied. The very first thing out of your mouth was, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't know I was speeding. You lying prairie dog. You knew you were speeding. And matter of fact, you're not sorry, because after you got the ticket, guess what's going to happen? About 5-10 miles down the road, you're going to put that pedal down to the metal again, and you're going to blaze the trail. I've realized that I drive very fast, and I have got to use my cruise control. And I get people mad at me because I'm in the fast lane, and I've got 5-6 miles over. They don't mess with me. I just put that on cruise, and if they want to pass, let them pass. But I'm staying there. And guess what? When I'm there at that right speed, I'm not looking over my shoulder for a police officer, because I know I'm doing what I need to do. But so many people want to speed and run through life and get radar detectors and make sure that you're, what a way to live. Can't live like that. And if you're really sorry, you start changing some things. There have been times, even in our marriage, I've done something to annoy my wife, and I know that's hard to believe because I'm such a fine Christian and so sweet and kind and gentle 24/7, but there are times that I annoy her and I get on her nerves, and there are times that I'll say, I'm sorry, and her response is, you ain't sorry. She said, you may be sorry, but you're not sorry. She goes, you're going to do it again. And I said, well, I'm going to try to be better. And I do try to be better. I just like to have fun a lot. And it's not good. It's not a good nature. But I do sometimes, many times, I try to ask for forgiveness because I really do mean it. But Peter said, I want you to repent. And I don't want you to be sorry you got caught. But I need you to change your ways. And not I want to change your ways. God wants to change your ways. God gave me the keys. He gave me the revelation of what needs to happen. He gave me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm trying to give you a roadmap. And so he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the names. In the names of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Great I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the... He has so many names, really, that there is no way that we could list all the names of God. He's got he's a peace speaker. He's a way maker. You know what I'm saying? He's everything, but he says right now, when you're going to baptize, he says you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, wiping away of all your sins. Wouldn't you like if Pastor wrote you a check for $1 million? How many would like Pastor to write you a check for $1 million? Well, I wouldn't want a check for me for $1 million because I ain't got $1 million in my bank account. But if I wrote you a check, just say for $1,000, and I put Father on that check, and you went down to your bank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, wherever that might be, and you said, I'd like to cash that check, and they're going to look at you and say, have you lost your mind? They signed it Father. You can't cash that check. Well, what do you mean? I'm a father. I said, well, let me put son. I can put all my titles on a check that I give you, but it would profit you nothing. I've got to put Michael Allen Grogan II on that check and give it to you. And guess what? You can cash it that way. Jesus said, when you're baptized, we'll talk more about baptism, but he said, when you're baptized, you've got to put on my name. You may have been baptized in the names of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Trinity ways, whatever that is. You're just getting wet if they're giving you titles. You've got to have the name of Jesus Christ applied to your life for the remission of sins, taken away of all sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? It's incredible. So the most important question that anybody could ever ask is the question that they asked on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. After Peter preached a wonderful message, they all lifted up their voice, Brother Mendez, and they said, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? It's the most important question that anybody could ever ask. It's the greatest question. We've got to know how to be saved. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody made this statement that the music is the greatest part of the service. Somebody said the leader of worship, the worship leader, that's the greatest part of the service. Others have said it's the preacher. He preaches good, and I love how he preaches. That's the most important part of the service. Although the word of God is great, although the music's great, although the worship leader's great, the greatest part of the service is how you respond to the music, how you respond to the leading of the service, how you respond to the preached word of God, how you respond to the altar call. That's what I love about prayer. When we do start laying hands on men and women and we start praying over one another, can I tell you, there is no power in us. There's no power in this oil. But there is power in faith. In faith to realize that it's not in me that's going to heal you. It's not in me that's going to save you. But what we're going to do is the prayer of faith. We're going to lay our hands on you, and we're going to say, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, whatever it is, whatever is afflicting you, whatever you need in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, in your home, in your family, whatever that is, we're praying that God will make a way. And guess what? When you respond to that and you activate your faith and you say, you know what? I've tried a lot of things. I've wasted money on psychiatrists and doctors and I've been like the woman with the issue of blood. I've spent all that I had and I haven't gotten better. I've gotten worse. But I'm going to try Jesus. And when I try him, he will not disappoint. That's why the most important thing, the best decision you can ever make, I'm coming to the altar, not because I'm forced to, not because someone's telling me I need to, but because I understand that the greatest thing I could ever do is respond to the presence of God. It's at the altar call that God begins to meet with me. It's at the altar call that God begins to take the bad habits away. It's at the altar call that God takes the bottle away and the drugs away and the perversions of this world. It's at the altar call that God begins to show me the blueprint of his word, the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's at the altar. It's at his presence. It's when I hear his voice. It's when I draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to me. When I try to respond to him, he responds to me and he fills me with his spirit. So the most important thing I could ever do, preacher, what must I do? How can I get my life back on track? How can I get my family to measure up to this? How can I turn things around? Respond to God. It's really what it is. It was even this morning as I was praying, it was the voice of the Lord. And I wish maybe God speaks to you, Brother Rudy, in a big, booming, loud, audible voice. Brother Rudy, take off your shoes. No, he doesn't do that to me. But I do feel impressed on my spirit, and I've learned to hear his voice. And I want to know his voice. But more than that, I want God to know my voice. It's really what I'm looking forward to. Can I tell you, we are living in the last days. God is coming back so soon. And he is coming back to not churches, but he's coming back for a church that has made herself ready. And here's what I want the Lord to say when he opens up the book of my life, the Lamb's book of life. I want him to say, Michael Allen Grogan II, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. Can I tell you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth all the sacrifice. It's going to be worth all the persecution. It's going to be worth all the junk that I've gone through and I've faced just to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because I'm going to tell you that the dreaded horror words that I never want him to utter out of his mouth to me is, depart from me, I know you not. I want God to know me. And how does he know me? It's spending time with him. It's just unplugging from the world and plugging into God. I'm telling you, God is as real today as he was in the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost. And that's why he said his word, greater work shall you do. Can I tell you, God wants to speak to you? God wants to help your home and help your family. But the only way standing in the way of that is Y-O-U. You've got to say, you know what, God? I need to respond to your spirit. I need to respond to the altar call. I need to do my best to stop walking this way, and I need to start walking this way. And I need to lay down some things. Paul said, I've got to die daily. I've got to repent daily. I've got to crucify this man daily. And then he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Can I tell you, someone said this, Brother Garcia. He said, sometimes when we pray in English, sometimes we pray wrong. But when we pray in the Spirit, it always goes right. Because the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And sometimes when we don't have the words and we don't know how to pray, but yet we take a pause and we start to somehow just prime that pump. And sometimes it even happens on Monday nights when you come and you just didn't feel like coming to prayer and you're just, you know, kind of kicking around saying, Jesus, I love you, you're good. And it just seems like it's hard, but you give it 5 minutes, you give it 10 minutes, you give it 15 minutes, and all of a sudden you start to feel the presence of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You start walking into that new dimension, that new level in God. And God starts putting his arms around you. And God starts talking to you. That's why Samuel ran to Eli, because he thought he heard Eli's voice, but it wasn't Eli. It was God. And then he said, Lord, speak to me. It's how we respond to this. That's what it's all about. It's changing our ways. And changing our ways, it always starts for the Calvillo with repentance. It's got to start with repentance. It's got to start with dying out. Because this body is unclean. Really is. And the only way to get it clean is we've got to say, God, I'm going to repent and I'm going to turn to you. Isaiah 64, 6 says this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. There's nothing in you that is glorious, because your righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Repentance is not merely feeling sorry for yourselves, although that is in part, but in fact, it is godly sorrow that causes us to repent. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Repentance is biblically defined as a turning around or an about face, an inward change of attitude leading to an outward change of action. Unless both of these occur, real repentance does not take place. That's why Matthew 3:8 said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And so when I repent, I'm applying the death of Christ to my life, and I'm making it effective in me. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's what we've got to do. When we come in His presence and we're responding to the altar call, we've got to make sure we crucify our body and that the sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. You're not created to serve sin. That's why God so emphatically in His word, scripture after scripture, line after line, He will tell us that He loves the sinner, but He does not love the sin. That's why He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Because we've got to be dead and free from sin. We've got to die out. That's what repentance is all about. But Alex, you can come. I'm going to wrap it up. See, that didn't hit all our scriptures, but Sister Marjorie. But repentance for you, if you can get anything that you heard from Pastor, you've got to respond to the most important question. What must I do to go to heaven? What must I do to be saved? Can I tell you, it starts, not finishes. We're going to talk next Wednesday about baptism and the Holy Ghost, but it starts with repentance. You will never be saved. You mark it down. You'll never be saved without repentance. I don't care if you spoke in tongues. I don't care if you were buried in the tank. If you didn't truly repent, you're not saved. You've got to crucify this man. You've got to change your ways. Not to be pleasing by men, but to be pleasing to Him. I want to please God. I want to know God. I want Him to wake me up. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, the wee hours of the night. See, one thing that Samuel did after God spoke to him, you read it, he never went to sleep. He slayed on his bed. Just in awe that God would speak to him. What did we sing in the very beginning of the service? Who am I that thou art mindful of me? I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Go to your work tomorrow. Go to your school tomorrow. Put your shoulder back. Get a big smile on your face. So someone has to ask you, why are you so happy? I'm a friend of God. He loves me. He thinks enough of me to allow me to talk to Him and Him talk to me. That's the greatest thing you could ever do. I love this woman dearly. I love to talk with her. I love to communicate and spend time with her. But she knows that she's second in my life. He's number one in my life. I didn't say my ministry was number one. I said He was number one. Because my order is this. One, two, then ministry. Ministry will never trump my family. Because if it trumps my family, I get out of order. And if I can't take care of my own home, how can I rule the house of God? But I want to know Him. I want to spend some time with Him. I want to commune with Him. You may think you have no friend in the world. I'm going to tell you, there is no friend like Jesus. Bible said He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Doesn't matter the time of day it is. Doesn't matter the day of week. If you'll just start mentioning His name. If you'll just start saying, God, I love you, Jesus. I just want to talk to you. All of heaven begins to stand still. and he'd start talking with you. That's the greatest part about him, is how you respond to him. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Would you raise your voice with me tonight? Would you just love him today? Not because I'm asking you to, but because something deep down on the inside of your spirit, on the inside of your soul, it longs to communicate with him. Oh, is there anybody in love with him? Anybody love his presence? Anybody love just talking with him? Come on, we got a few minutes. Why don't we just disconnect from this world, disconnect from technology, disconnect from the week ahead, and why don't we just connect with him and say, God, speak to me. God, draw close to me. I'm running to you. I'm embracing you today. Forgiveness. Oh, would you lift your voice in this house? Would you lift your voice in this house? I'm hungry for you. God, I'm thirsty for you. Oh, God, wake me up in the wee hours of the night. God, speak to me when I'm driving down the road. Speak to me when I'm at school. Speak to me when I'm at work. Speak to me when I'm at home. God, I need a divine visitation from you. Come on, anybody hungry for him? Anybody thirsty for him? Hungry, God, for you. I'm thirsty, God, for you. Here I am, God. Here's your servant. Hallelujah.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The
Father. Come on, I feel him in this house right now. Why don't you close your eyes? Why don't you get your mind on him? Why don't you say, God, I love you today. God, I desire you today. I'm running after you, God, today.
The Savior, isn't he wonderful?
But I'm hungry for you.
Sing hallelujah.
And I'm thirsty.
Christ is
like you, God. Nobody like you, God. Nobody like you, God.
Before
I love you today. I worship you today, God.
He is Lord.
Pushing some things down, God. Forgive me.
Hallelujah.
Cleanse me, God. Renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Let me push down some things. Let me run to you. Turn some things around in my life. Oh, I want more of you. I want more of you. A hunger, God, for you. A thirst, God, for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all.
Oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful.
Sing hallelujah. Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing
This is something you got to take home with you. You really do. You got to take it home with you. You got to let this become your lifestyle. Let this become your habit. Walk in the Spirit that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we don't walk after the Spirit because we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't want to walk after the Spirit because we just want more of Him. When you fall in love with God, you just want more. And so I challenge you, let prayer be a priority in your home. Let prayer be the first thing you do in the morning. Let prayer be the last thing you do at night. Learn to walk in prayer. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. If you'll start with prayer and you'll start with just saying, God, I'm giving it to you, God will start speaking to you. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the power we have to come boldly into you and make our petitions known. I pray for your children tonight. I pray, God, that you'd go home with them. I pray, God, that you'd wake them up. I pray, God, you'd speak to them in dreams and visions. God, I pray you'd go with them. We've got a world that needs this. We've got a world that needs to hear this good news. And help us, God, to draw close to you and fill this up so we can give it out. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Clap your hands on the Lord tonight. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.